All right, it's good to see you today, and it's good to have Amanda and all her family. I'm just going to let you do all the introductions. Love and God, let you tell who everybody is, and we appreciate you coming today. Let's turn with us in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews chapter 10. In our college and career class, we've been studying the subject of faith. So this is our third lesson on the subject of faith. And started 2 weeks ago with Hebrews chapter 11. And we dealt with the definition of faith, what faith is, in the opening chapters. And then last week we talked about faith in relationship to salvation in Romans chapter 10. We dealt with some things there. As we progress in the Christian life, there is always a need for something. God is always, I like the old song, you don't hear it much anymore, God's still working on me. And our lives are in a work in progress. No doubt about that. We're always in God's school of learning. And so, if we begin to experience and understand things about faith. Why do we need faith? In Hebrews 11, the definition of faith. When you got saved by grace through faith, not of yourself. How do we hear about faith? So then, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Well, it doesn't stop there. There are multitudes of things discussed in the Bible concerning this thing of faith. So we're going to look in chapter 10 and deal with, and it will tie into what we're going to talk about concerning faith. But why do we go through afflictions? Why afflictions? And we're going to see several things here in chapter 10. Have you ever wondered why? And I hear people on television talk about, these televangelists talk about how basically to them, they make the Christian life to be a bed of roses. I have found that underneath all those roses are lots of thorns. And there are problems and there are difficulties. And it'd be nice if in our lives, it'd be wonderful if the Christian life were just a bed of roses. No problems, no difficulties. But if you're a Christian today, you know that sometimes maybe the thorns outnumber the roses in your life. It's like, I wouldn't mind seeing a few more roses on my bush. And so there's plenty of thorns. And there's a reason for that. And so we want to look at three reasons that the Bible says here in chapter 10 of the book of Hebrews why there is the need in our lives to have afflictions, to have hard times. I think that on a practical level, you and I would absolutely understand this, that if your life and my life were totally a bed of roses, we would have no need for anything. America, and I would probably be argued on this point. I believe that America is one of the most spoiled nations ever been in existence. Why are we spoiled? Because we have so much. I understand that we've been through a time of recession, things like that, and I'm not convinced. I hear people's analysts say we've come out of recession. I'm not convinced we are. I think we're still there. But you know, even in the situations that we're in, God's still been good to us. God has still been gracious to us. Nobody here, none of us look like we're starving. None of us look like we're in need and sick. And you say, well, I'm not driving a brand new car. Well, it's all right. We get you from point A to point B. Praise God for that. And gas prices are going up. Yeah, that's right. But, thank God when He provides the money to put gas in the tank. We have to keep things in a proper perspective. Things, if we don't appreciate things, I believe sometimes until the times do get hard. So you do get tough, and then you realize what you do have, and then we ought to praise the Lord for it. I think we'll see that as we are illustrating this in chapter number 10. Let's look beginning with verse number 32. And said verse 32, but call to remembrance the former days. That's a very important verse. What does it mean? Remember. Now, some of you are a little older and you have more memories that you can look back. And in a day in which things were very tough and difficult, you would probably say, oh, I just don't know. It was so bad back then. But then it's strange that I hear the very same people that talk about how bad it was at certain times in their lives talk about the fact that some of those times provided the greatest blessing. That's strange. But it's true. Very true. I hear people talk about, oh, when I was growing up, I didn't have this and I didn't have that. And then they'll say, but I'm going to make sure that my children and grandchildren don't have to go through what I went through. And I hear that a lot. I think that's a mistake. Because the very people that say that they had it rough, they had some character built in them. But sometimes when you just hand things to people, you know what I've seen? They don't appreciate it. We know a young man in the ninth grade particular school here in Danville that was given to him last year. What was that truck that was given to him? Brand new, what was it? Brand new truck given to this young man in the ninth grade. What's wrong with that? How do you top that? What you going to do when you graduate? Give him a limousine? You know? I mean, there is something good about having to work for what you got. There is something for appreciating what you have. Okay? So that's very important. So again, remember, he says, call to remembrance the former days in which after ye were illuminated, after something was shown to you, revealed to you, God began to show you some things. Okay? That's a lot of times why we have remembrances. That's why we remember things, is because God wants us to look back on some things and understand the lessons that we learned. Okay? After you were limited, you endured a great fight of afflictions. That is not fun. It is not fun. Now, most of us, when we talk about having a great fight of affliction, we don't really have afflictions. Okay? You think about it. When you look at the fact that what would we consider afflictions? We would consider true afflictions possibly a disease in our bodies. That's true affliction. Our family members go off in a very bad way. That's an affliction that breaks your heart. But there are things that happen that are not necessarily afflictions, but we look at it that way. That might be something about, you know, there's a faucet problem in the sink. Or there's a little rattling sound in the car. Those types of things. We consider those to be hardships. Those really aren't hardships. Those are minor irritants. They irritate us. Okay? But then there comes that time where God allows difficult things. And if you will, the word afflictions, because it says ye endured a great fight of afflictions. And is it not true that there are just times? Now, why would we have to go through great fights of affliction? It's important to understand what God is trying to do for us and what he's trying to show us. Verse 33 says, partly. Here's one reason why we go through a great fight of afflictions. Verse 33, partly, whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions. People are watching. People are watching us. You are being watched where you were. Are being watched where you go to school. And if you talk the talk, they want to make sure you walk the walk. They want to see if you do something as simple at lunchtime as bow your head and pray for your food. It's not like you're going to stand on top of a table and begin to say, oh, shut your mouths, people, we're going to bow our heads and pray. You don't do that. But if you just, if you're at work, and you sit down, you've got a bag of lunch or something, and you bow your head and you just thank the Lord, don't think somebody's not watching. Because you're talking all this stuff about God, and you're trying to talk to people, and then here you won't even pray over your food. They notice this. We are gazing stocks. We are being watched. People are watching you if you have a hammer and a nail and you're trying to put up a picture and you hit the wrong nail. And you say some words that are not real pretty. They pay attention. Because we are gazing stocks. We are watched by the world. We, in a small way, go back to the days in which the writer of Hebrews was writing and look at the things that the people of that time, the Christians of that time, went through. And it makes what we have to go through very insignificant. People died for their faith. People died for their belief. It was not unusual. Fox's Book of Martyrs talks about the fact of a man who was faced with his, whether he was going to recant his Christianity or not. And so they brought he and his family, and they had a horse, they had a chariot of horses over here pointing to the south, and then they had another chariot of horses to the north, and then they took the man and they chained him by his wrists and his ankles to each side of those horses, and then they had the wife and children standing there, and they said, recant your faith in Jesus Christ. And if not, your family is going to watch you be torn apart from their earth. I don't know if I'd be strong enough. But many times, according to history, they did. They would not recant, and right in front of them. And those Roman soldiers made those family members, made them. Then you've got your own dad being torn apart like a wishbone. We think we have it tough. I forget which one of the reformers it was, but one of them was threatened with his life, and he signed a statement recanting his faith, and God got a hold of him and convicted him, and he went back, and he went to the government, and he said to the Romans, he said, I can't do it. He said, I cannot deny my faith. And so they burned him at the stake. And he said he had one request when he died. He said, this is the hand that I signed my recanting document. He said, burn it. And they burned his hand as well as the rest of them. They burned his hand. I mean, what about this thing? Being a gazing stock. Don't think people, why are these things recorded in history? Because we as Christians are gazing stocks. We are being watched. Okay? So, why do we have to go through afflictions? We're still not to the first reason yet, but I'm showing you these things. He said, partly a gazing stock, partly, verse 33, partly whilst we became companions of them that were so used. Verse 34, for ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven, see that? Ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. First reason that we have afflictions in our lives is to make us appreciate them, to prepare us for heaven. If I were to ask you, are you ready to go to heaven? You'd probably say yes. But if I asked you, do you want to go to heaven today? I got a feeling you wouldn't agree with that one so well. What makes you ready to go to heaven? Affliction. When things get so tough, and it's like, Ma, I can't wait to get to heaven. Can't hardly take it down here. I got loved ones on the other side. When you get more people that you know over there than you do down here, that'll make you more ready to go to heaven. And so those are some of them. So to prepare us for heaven, to make sure that we are ready to go and we are looking forward to going. What was it that John the Baptist said? Even so, come quickly, Jesus. He was ready to go. Why was John the beloved disciple, why was he ready to go? Because history tells us he was put into a vat of oil to be burned and survive. And then following that, they put him on the Isle of Patmos where he was broken with the revelation. Can you imagine surviving being burned in a scalding cauldron of oil? And surviving. I believe that after I'd seen some of the things that John saw in the book of Revelation, having gone through the persecution that he went through, and the suffering, and all of that, I think I'd be saying he was so good. He's ready to go. So, reason number one we see in the scriptures is we go through afflictions to prepare us for heaven. Second reason is to provide for us, bad word, patience. I don't like the word patience. Because you know what the Bible said. Book of Romans says, how do you get patience? Tribulation, work, patience. Somebody says, I sure have been going through it lately. Well, pray for patience, and I hope not. I don't pray for patience. The way I look at it, when I need patience, God knows I need patience. I don't have to ask for it. He'll give it to me when the time's right. But I knew a dear brother one time in the church that I pastored. He got saved, young Christian, and he just grew in the Lord. And one Wednesday night we would meet him in prayer circle. And so he prayed one night. And when he asked for this prayer request, I was shivering up and down my spine. He said, preacher, I need patience. I said, I knew just as sure as the world when he said that he's going to have some tribulation. And I talked to him about it. And I said, is that what you really want? I said, this is what you want prayer for is patience. Oh yeah, preacher, I need patience. Well, we prayed about that in the circle. I didn't see him again until Sunday morning. I was the first one at church that morning. I remember I was up in the pulpit making some notes for the morning service. He was the first one walking through the pulpit. God answered my prayer. I said, how's that? He said, from the second I left church until today, I have been through so much tribulation. He said, I understand that tribulation. I think he got home that night and there was a flat tire on his car that he hadn't even driven that day, and he had to change that to get ready for the next day. He said, it's been one thing right after another every single day till this morning. He says, I understand. Well, what does the Bible say here? Verses 35 and 36. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for ye have need of patience. Now, when do we need patience? We needed patience yesterday. Now, it's like, Lord, why don't you answer prayer? Why don't you give me what I need now? Just answered your question. Prayer is answered three ways, isn't it? Yes, no, wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Well, all through the Bible talks about the principle of waiting on God. But you can't wait on God without there being some certain element of tribulation. There's going to be some hardship, difficulties. And every day we get up, there is the possibility of something happening that can mess our whole day up. How do I react to that? How do I respond to those things? How do I respond to those people that God puts in my life? There are some people that you either go to school with or work with or live around or whatever that gets on your last nerve and plucks you to no end. And it's like, God, why me? Why did you put this person in my life? And you could ask that question a multitude of times. But what is he saying? He says, for ye have need of patience. I need patience. That's a hard thing to say because I don't want patience. Because I know how patience comes about. Romans says, tribulation worketh patience. That's tough. But he says, you have need of patience. that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Patience. And notice the phrase, after that. After you've gone through the tribulation, after you've gone through the difficulties, after you've gone through the hardships, then you begin to learn the lessons. Then you begin to see why God sent it to you in your life. And so you just have to experience that. And it's hard and it's tough. But why do I have to go through? Why do you have to go through afflictions? We go through afflictions because, number one, it will help prepare us for heaven. Number two, because it will provide for us patience. But then the third thing, as we close out this chapter, it procures for us faith. Here's where the faith element comes in, because that's what our series is on, is faith. Look at verse number 37 down to the end of verse 39. 37 says, "For yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry." Now the Lord's coming back one day. And I can say this, if nothing else, and you can too, we are one day closer now than we were yesterday to the coming of the Lord. And if the Lord doesn't come back today, tomorrow we will be one day closer to the coming of the Lord than we are right now. And so he says, "And for yet a little while." Now, isn't it interesting? There are people that live to be 100, 105, 110 years of age. And there have been Christians for a good amount of time in their lives. But you know what the Bible calls that? A little time. A little while. Some of you may have become a Christian when you were very young. I became a Christian when I was 15 years of age. Called to preach when I was 17. I've been preaching the gospel since I was 17 years of age. I look and I think how old I am now, and I'm not that old, but I've got more years probably behind me than I'm going to be. But here's the point. The point is that we go through the difficulties, we go through the trials, we go through the problems. We may have started as young Christians, and we look back and we think of all the times, what we've experienced, hardships, whatever you want to call it. But the Bible calls it in verse 37 a little while. Didn't feel like it, did it? Didn't feel like a little while when you go through those problems and difficulties. Didn't feel like it. Those times that you stayed up in the middle of the night, wept, cried, prayed. Didn't feel like a little while. The times that your heart was so heavy and broken, it didn't feel like a little while. That's what he said. "For yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry." When he comes, he's coming. When he steps out, he calls the saints of God home at the rapture of the church. We're going out of here like a locomotive, buddy. Saints of God will take off out of here. We'll come. Now, in this principle, he said in verse 38, looking back at this idea of living just a little while, because when you compare eternity to life down here, it's just a little while. Down here. But he said in verse 38, "Now the just shall live by faith." And next week in our class, we're going to be dealing with four times in the Bible this phrase is used. This is one of four times in the Bible the phrase "the just shall live by faith" is discussed. It's originally discussed in the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk changes it one way. He adds one word that the other passages don't add, and that's the word "is." Habakkuk said the just shall live by his faith. But if you go to Romans, Hebrews, and Galatians, you will see this verse quoted, "the just shall live by faith." The word is omitted. Okay? But nonetheless, the message is still the same. Now the just shall live by faith, and that's how we live. Now, what do we mean by living by faith? All right, let's go back to this fact. Let's go back to what we've discussed. I am looking forward to going to heaven, but I've never been. I'm not going to argue the point. There are people that have claimed that they've died, gone to heaven, come back. There are books about it. I don't really have a lot of stock in it, but I'm not going to argue with them. But I don't have a lot of stock in that kind of literature. But nonetheless, you know, you and I are going somewhere one day if we're saved that we've never seen before. We are serving a master whom with our eyes we have never seen. No one here has seen Jesus. I know some people claim they have visions and things like that, but I'm not sure if it's a vision as much as it is a pepperoni pizza that they had at 1 o'clock in the morning. And it created a little vision problems, or whatever you call it. But nobody has seen Jesus. regard that we're talking about. But we are serving him anyway. I mean, think about the fact of all the churches that you pass today. Okay? And whether that, no matter what their denomination may be, they are claiming to worship the same Christ that you and I are worshiping today. They have not seen him either. And a church is a testimony, a physical testimony on the side of a road that people are serving a God who they have never served. You go to a large Christian college, and those young people are there, and they're committing themselves to a lifestyle they've never seen. It is an overwhelming thing. Okay. Now, these afflictions are preparing us for heaven. They are providing for us patience. Because here we are going. There are stories of missionaries who have gone to foreign fields that have suffered and given their lives and have died for their faith. And they've done that all in the name of Christianity, which is something that they have never seen with their physical eyes. But their invisible bodies are enduring the suffering and afflictions and pain and torture and hardship and difficulty. There are missionaries that have come back from foreign fields, areas and regions of Africa or Asia perhaps, in which they don't have the medical wherewithal to take care of them. We have had several missionaries that we have supported here at this church that have come back from the field because they just their mission board said your health is bad and there's nobody on your field that can take care of you if something happens. You need to go back to the States. You could take that and you could turn that thing around like, well, if they never went to the mission field, would they have ever gotten sick? And those are questions you can't answer. I can't answer. But the point is, they went, and they went into a life of hardship for many years. Why? By faith. Because they trusted someone whom they have never seen with mortal eye. If I may use the terminology, what we are doing now, we are doing by word of mouth. Remember that verse in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. And if you think about, people talk about the fact, and I hear people are very bothered by the churches are going in this direction. But yes, I know that's true. By the same token, though, we still have churches that are true to God's word and are faithful, and missionaries who are faithful, and pastors who are faithful, and evangelists who are faithful, and church members who are faithful, and they're going to be faithful till the day they die. You know what this is all? It's all by faith. All by faith. The just shall live by faith. You can't live any other way this Christian life but by faith. You can't. You do this thing by sight, you'll quit. Because there's very little by sight, and what you see by sight is discouraging. So you've got to trust God, and you've got to stay in the book, and you've got to believe this is what God... I've been in the ministry some 30 plus years. And I'm going to tell you, if I was living this thing by sight, I'd have quit this thing a long time. But I'm living this thing by faith. I have to believe that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I have to believe that. I have to. I'm going too far to quit now. Why would I want to quit now? I've got too many hours in. You're the same way. Thank God you're in church today. Thank God you go to church. Thank God you're trying to serve the Lord. Many of you got some miles on you. It's good. Praise God. Some of you got more miles to go. May God give you strength to do it. But you know what? It's all by faith. Talked to a couple of young men, one in particular, students that I used to have in Christian schools. And I was talking to one yesterday, I called him up yesterday, he's getting married. He says he's got pinned down, he said 11 weeks, he said he's getting married. And I remember when he called me on the phone one time, a couple of years ago, he said, I met her, he said, you met met who? Said, I met the girl I'm going to marry. Well, yeah, right. You know what? It was. Yeah, he went through some rough times, but man, it was that thing of love at first sight type thing. It really was. I'm going to marry her. And they're getting married. That's about 2 years ago. And they were talking about it, and he was sharing with me. He called me. He was all excited because he said, my girlfriend's got a job proposition up in Roanoke where she can get into this company and work full time. He said, that's going to help so much. And he was talking about how they found an apartment up in Boone's Mill that they wanted, and it was perfect for their job locations, and yada, yada, yada. He's going on, and I'm thinking, he said, and we're going to have this amount of money, and we can put this aside, and I'm listening to all this, and I'm going, I never said it. But I thought, if I had to have all of that when my wife and I got married, I'd be a bachelor to this day. Because there's just sometimes you just not going to have to, maybe you do. I don't have $2,000 or $3,000 or $4,000 sitting in an account somewhere that I can fall back on. I just fall on air. And I think to myself, you know, I should be worried. I should really be worried because, I mean, I like I said a minute ago, I've got more behind me than I got ahead of me. But, you know, as far as a retirement or anything, I don't have hardly any retirement set aside at all because of our Christian life, our walk with the Lord, our married life has been ministry and service, and we've sacrificed and given, and many, many, many have also. And guess what? Just trust in the Lord. All you can't go any farther than that. Just you live by faith. But if any man draw back from what? Draw back from living by faith. My soul shall have no pleasure in him. Did you know it makes God happy to live by faith? See? It pleases him that we walk and live by faith. Then he says this, and we'll close here in this 39th verse, but we are not of them which draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. There are those who look and they listen and they hear in our churches or through soul winning, and we try to share the things of the Lord with them, and you know what sometimes happens? Because they look and they think, this thing's scary. And they get a false idea of what Christianity is. They think that, and sometimes we are the very people who give the wrong impression of what Christianity is. We give the impression that Christianity is so boring. It's horrible. You know? And we sometimes put that persona out there, and people look at it and say, man, if that's Christianity, I know I don't want it. And that's what he's saying, but we are not of them who draw back into perdition. When they see it, and it's, or it may be the fact that when they hear the testimonies, someone say one time that her husband had heard me give a testimony about some things that God had done in our lives, and that he had talked to his wife later and said, I've never heard anything. Talk about a man in his 50s. He had never heard anybody talk about what it was to live by faith and have answers to prayer. And it just freaked him out. He just never heard in his 50s and never heard anything like that in his life. And some people, things like that would scare people because everything's got to be sight. Everything's got to be touchable and tangible. But this Christian life is very much untangible. Did not that 11th chapter of Hebrews talk about Abraham? How that Abraham was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. The city wasn't even built yet. But he left Ur of the Chaldees and left being a wealthy businessman and took everything that he had and went to establish the foundation for a city whose builder and maker was God. Who told him to go? God. How did he go? By faith. How many businessmen would do that today? How many businessmen? I heard the story and I close with this. I heard a story. Have you ever gone to the grocery store and bought anything from the Ford company, like milk or cheese or something like that? And I did not know this, but back in the, I'm supposing, early 1900s maybe, there was a young man who was the heir apparent of the entire Borden dynasty. And they were getting him ready to come in and take over from his dad. And this young man went to a gospel meeting, heard the gospel, God's sake. And he went back and he shared with his family and all. They were not, of course, impressed. They were not saved themselves. And so he started going to church, Sunday school, and on down the line. And someone in the church challenged the congregation about going to the mission and leaving everything that they had to go to the mission. I don't remember what country it was. I want to say Burma, but I can't swear to that. But anyway, this young man, this young man named Borden, went back to his parents and said to them, "I am going to the mission field." And they said, "You forsake your company, your business, your wealth, your riches. If you leave and do not take your place in the company like you're supposed to, and you go to some foreign field, you are cut off." He had a decision. And the decision was he decided to go to the mission field, and he was cut off. Now, this young Borden never got to the mission field. Before he got to the mission field, I think he was on a ship. He was traveling, and while he was on that ship, he contracted a disease. And while on that ship, he died. In his 20s. In some of his memoirs, they found where he said, "No matter what happens, the price is not too great." I don't know if they took him back. I don't know if they gave him a wonderful burial. I don't know that part of the story. But when he died, he had written something to the effect in his diary that there was no price too great to pay for service to Jesus Christ. Now, I'd say this. I'd say that young man, it didn't work out like he thought. Never got to the mission. Never got there. Then I look at this. If your life and my life has a different plan to it than we think. Because we think, I want this to happen, I want this to happen, I want this to happen. But you know, isn't it interesting how that doesn't always happen? And when we get to heaven, we're going to have all things revealed to us. And the only thing we'll be able to say probably when we get to heaven is, "Lord, I don't know if I did it right, but I did it with faith." This faith is a tremendous, powerful thing. Things we need to study and learn. Because some people, when they think of faith, all they think about is money. "Oh, I don't have any money to pay my bill. By faith, I'm going to look in the mailbox." That happens sometimes. But that's a very small part about faith. It is not just money. It is living this life so that others can see Jesus. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Buddy, you dismiss us.
Now, Father, we thank you this morning for the love of which we love you. For your mercy and your grace. Father, thank you this morning for the faith we have